Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Sider, and joined by our weekly guest on the show here all throughout the season, Zach Hicks of Stampede Blue. How are you doing today, Zach?
Pretty good, man. We got information that my state's about to lock down here due to coronavirus, but you know, outside of that, we're doing pretty good here.
I know Indiana, I believe, is doing the same on Wednesday or so. I imagine it's definitely a different time in the U.S., so I appreciate everyone listening in and taking your time out with us here on Locked On Colts. We're going to talk a lot about today's show, Zach. We're going to obviously do some draft stuff at the end of the show, Mock Draft Monday, but also talk through some really surprising Colts news. We'll kick it off through Pierre Desir being cut. He had no dead cap on his contract. That's the one thing I noticed when he first signed the contract last year, Zach, was really it was just a one-year contract for the Colts. They wanted to get out with no dead money involved. They did that before the guarantee on Sunday. Surprising move, though, because they now do not have a cornerback one unless they believe in Rakia Sin and Marvell Tell on the outside. What do you think's next to that position? What's your thoughts on Desir on his way out to the Jets?
Yeah, so starting with Desir, you know, I don't think his play really warranted him getting cut. Obviously, it wasn't at the level that it was before the year before, but I still think he's a good corner. I mean, even we had flashes last year of him playing well, and honestly, I think a lot of it was due to the injury that he suffered early in the season, hamstring injury. I just don't think he was right throughout the whole year. So it does kind of suck to see him go, but I do kind of get it from the Colts' perspective. You know, like the play did drop off. They had a chance to cut him with no dead money, and he probably wasn't worth, you know, that $7, $8 million contract, even though, again, I don't think that was too bad of a deal. He probably wasn't worth it with the way he was playing. So, you know, I don't really completely agree with the move, but I understand it from a money perspective. But, you know, they weren't really that tight on cap, so I guess that's kind of the counterpoint to that. But, you know, I do think this kind of shows that they have a lot of belief in Rocky Sin and maybe even Marvell Tell. You know, they might have another free agent in mind that they're going to target, or maybe they had like a guy like at pick 34 or 44 to kind of step in and replace Desir. So I don't really know how much this really says about Marvell Tell, but I definitely think that they saw enough in Rocky Sin last year. And honestly, outside of that Denver game and kind of the way that he was playing down the stretch, yeah, I think it's absolutely easy to say that, you know, Rocky Sin has good potential and maybe not the cornerback one, but a cornerback two maybe. Yeah, so I don't completely disagree, or I don't completely agree with the cutting of Desir, but, you know, Rocky Sin, I think, outplayed him last year, and there's some good options in the draft. So I don't think it's kind of as dire a situation of what a lot of people are saying. You know, I don't think he was their best corner by any means. You know, obviously Kenny Moore was their best corner on the team last year and one of the best overall defenders. And then I think Rocky Sin was better than him last year as well. So I don't think it's as dire as a cut as people are kind of freaking out about, but yeah, it's definitely a questionable call, unless they have some kind of plan here, which I'm sure they do.
Yeah, and you look at Kenny Moore, too. Chris Ballard's all about leadership in that locker room. We saw last year Kenny Moore take more of that leadership role in the locker room, and I think he's going to take even more of it now in 2020 for a fully healthy season. And I think they probably knew that he grew into that leadership role while Pierre Desir was there, and obviously we know Kenny Moore and Pierre Desir are very close, but I think I'd be surprised, honestly, Zach, if they went the free agent route. Xavier Rhodes is over the hill at this point. It doesn't make any sense to me, honestly. I think more the draft route. We've heard already they know what prospects like Trayvon Diggs of Alabama, a guy who's going to go in that 34, 44 range, maybe even earlier, maybe a late first-round pick. What's your thoughts on them going once? I know maybe some Colts seem to be confused again. Why are we spending our first pick again on a cornerback like Rocky Sin last year? Maybe they do the same this year with a guy Trayvon Diggs, or they go with a guy. I know you met with Zach, Michael Ujemudia of Iowa, the Colts really like, and he's a round two, round three type guy. Bryce Hall of Virginia, Chris Bowers at the Virginia Notre Dame game there, so there could be interest. I think those three guys make an awful lot of sense for this team.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of guys in this draft that make sense. You know, I mean, on top of that, I think Jalen Johnson out of Utah makes a lot of sense. Damon Arnett, you know, obviously the off-field stuff is kind of cleared up through, you know, Skype interview or whatever the heck they're doing now with this COVID stuff. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of guys in this class that Ballard has a lot of interest in. There's a lot of types that fit his, you know, big press corner that can also drop in his zone and come downfield and hit people. I think there's a lot of guys that really fit that mold. And honestly, you know, going to what you were saying, spending his top pick on a corner again, you know, in Ballard's time as a GM or also as director of scouting with, you know, where he was with the Chiefs. So since 2013, I think in those seven drafts, he's taken like 12 corners or like 10, 11 corners, something like that. He's taken a lot of corners, and he obviously sees that as a position that you can't just kind of be settled with. You know, you need to keep taking corners and keep developing guys and keep that kind of pipeline clean and constant. I mean, if he took another corner with his top pick, it wouldn't shock me at all. And it wouldn't even shock me if they still had Nasir on the roster that he would take another one with one of those picks. You know, it's just obviously a position that he really values. And, you know, there are a lot of guys in this class. So, yeah, I think there's a couple free agents that he might have interest in. But, yeah, the draft route's probably the way that he's going to go.
The next free agent cut, which wasn't surprising, Zach, but we also heard reports about this. We're obviously going to cover it here from Jeremy Fowler, who was the first one to break the news about the report interest of the Colts and Jacoby Brissett back around New Year's. And he said that, according to a source, that they're going to keep Jacoby Brissett around. That's their intent right now. I don't know if that's bluffing on the Colts' part, but they cut Brian Hoyer, so that means there's no quarterback two competition for a guy like Brian Hoyer. He's now already signed the Patriots back on a one-year deal to back up Jarrett Stidham there if he wants to. I really believe, Zach, it seems like there's a stronger chance by that day Jacoby Brissett's the backup quarterback and Chris Bauer eats the money. But what's your thoughts on Brian Hoyer getting released?
Well, yeah, just to start with Hoyer being released, I don't think that really should shock anyone. I mean, he was supposed to come in and be that kind of steady backup. He could win a game if he had to. And he had his one chance to – or I guess his two chances with the Steelers and Dolphins games to kind of come in and win a game when he had to. And he just couldn't get it done. I don't really think that should shock anyone. He's an older quarterback that couldn't get it done in his spot starts last year. And if you're not doing that, you're not really a good backup quarterback. So, it doesn't shock me at all. And it was definitely a move that had to be made, even though it didn't really save the Colts that much money.
And then if this leads, what do you think is next now at the quarterback position, Zach? Because now, let's not even include Chad Kelly here, because he's probably the squad guy if he's anything at this point. Do you believe maybe the quarterback room heading into the draft, it seems like a Josh Rosen situation we saw at the Cardinals last year when they took Kyler Murray. After they took Kyler Murray, they immediately shopped Josh Rosen and got whatever they could for him. Maybe that's what's next to this Colts team. Maybe they draft quarterback in round two at 34, 44, even trade up into round one for, say, a guy like Jordan Love if he starts slipping. Maybe they go the route of what the Cardinals did last year. But what do you think happens now at the quarterback position? There's an increasing chance of Jacoby staying?
There's a pretty good chance of him. I don't know. As of right now, there's kind of everything on the table. You know, the Colts obviously could eat that money and stick with Brissett for this whole next year, where, you know, he is still a decent backup in this league. So it wouldn't be the worst decision. Obviously, it's a lot of money to the quarterback position. And it kind of limits you a little bit in what you can do this year. But who knows how much Ballard was even planning to do again in free agency this year. So that is one option. Another option is trading him at the draft or maybe even holding on to him until training camp when those injuries kind of pile up to other teams and maybe a team loses a quarterback and you can get a good price for trading Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen. All I really know with Brissett is, you know, he's not going to be on this team after this year. Obviously, they made that very clear when they gave Phillip Rivers a $25 million contract to come in and be the starter. At most this year for the Colts, he's going to be the backup at a really high salary. Or he's going to be shipped, you know, in training camp or the draft. I don't really know which option it's going to be. We're going to have to kind of just wait and see with that. But as of right now, you know, with all the reports and kind of like what we were saying with Phillip Rivers, you know, when there's smoke, there's fire. So with all the reports that we're seeing, all the smoke with it, the Colts have every intention of holding on to him and keeping him as the backup, which, you know, for a one-year thing, you could definitely do worse at your backup position. So, you know, I don't completely disagree with that move.
Yeah, the Colts still, after cutting Desir and Hoyer, interestingly enough, Zach, if they do keep Jacoby Brissett, they still are very flexible cap-wise. Around $30 to $32 million in cap space right now, rough projections for the Colts. More than enough money to still go after a big fish name if they want to, or even still fill in the roster with depth guys. What do you think is next for this Colts team? Do you think they still attack free agency? Because all of a sudden they free up $11 million in one day by cutting Desir and Hoyer.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're completely done. I think there are still a couple moves that are out there to be made. I mean, we saw what Ballard's done in years past with guys like DeNico Autry and signing these guys, these kind of bargain deals later on in free agency and getting, you know, some pretty good value here in the later days of free agency and like the second wave of it. So, we could definitely see him make a couple more moves. But I do think all his big splash moves are done. I think Buckner was his big splash and Rivers was his big splash. I don't really see, like, you know, like a Jadeveon Clowney deal coming or anything like that. I know a lot of people are getting excited about that. But I see mostly being a lot more of, like, the smaller deals and such and kind of getting good value and good depth players, maybe getting some more experience onto their defense. But I don't really see many more, like, major moves coming for this team.
Yeah, I expected there to be a lot more through the draft, and Chris Ballard's going to definitely capitalize on his still too high draft picks here, Zach. But before we get into our mock draft Monday, I wanted to go on. I think two interesting losses here is going to lead us into our draft conversation. Joe Haig to Tampa Bay on a one-year deal, presumably to compete for a starting job to protect Tom Brady on a Super Bowl run at Tampa Bay. And also, we saw Josh Andrews go to the Jets. Once again, the Colts-Jets pipeline with Rex Hogan's really showing up now as he signs there, I believe, on a 1 or 2 year deal with the Jets. So that's their number 6, number 7 offensive linemen, though, Zach. Those are two huge losses for this Colts team. I think Colts fans would be maybe a little frustrated if they did this, but I would not be shocked at all at this point, especially after losing Haig and Andrews, if the Colts addressed offensive line at 34 or 44.
Yeah, you know, I think that was always kind of in the cards with Anthony Costanzo considering retirement and that whole fiasco that was going on. I definitely think they could go tackle at 34 or 44. And, you know, Ballard has made it very clear that he always values offensive line play and values the trenches, and getting another offensive lineman would not be against his character at all. You know, when it comes to losing Haig and Andrews, though, I think that was kind of expected coming to this offseason, especially Haig. Haig was going to, you know, get a chance to start somewhere else, and that was something the Colts just couldn't match with whatever team that he was going to go to. So I think a lot of this was kind of expected. They were going to have to rebuild that depth part of their offensive line with some youth. And, you know, I think that's why they kept a guy like Jake Eldenkamp all last year, because I think they anticipated this kind of going on this offseason. So I think they like Eldenkamp. I think they have, you know, a decent amount of trust when it comes to LaRaven Clark and such, but obviously a little bit more than that. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, maybe day three they could address interior offensive line, and maybe even early on day two with 34 or 44 they could address that tackle problem here.
Yeah, let's dive in now, Zach, to some possible options here at 34 and 44. Let's take the trade off the table here, because if they do trade, it's probably for a quarterback that slides like a Jordan Loves, and we all know that's maybe a scenario that could happen with how the draft plan, how the quarterback dominoes are currently playing. But, Zach, when you look at a player like – let's look at the offensive tackles for a second. So we just talked about guys like Joe Haig and guys in that 34-44 range. Ezra Cleveland, he really – Ballard loves his athletic offensive line, and we already know that, but – it really seems to me like Cleveland is a guy who makes a lot of sense at 34, 44. Anyone else make sense in that range?
Yeah, there's a couple other guys. I think Matthew Pert out of UConn makes a lot of sense. 36-inch arms, the longest in the draft. Great athlete. I think he was a 90th percentile athlete as well. So not as high as Ezra Cleveland, but also a very good athlete. And he's also just a mauler in the run game. You know, he just runs through guys, and he's a people mover. So I think Matthew Pert's going to be someone, you know, in that 34-44 range that the Colts could definitely consider. So, yeah, him. I think Austin Jackson, if he falls out of the first round, which, you know, there are kind of like reports of him going anywhere from 15 to the third round. He's very raw, but he's super athletic, has a lot of interesting nuances in his game. He just kind of really needs to develop that kind of base and kind of anchor when he's facing against these NFL style rushers. But, you know, if he was to come in as a Colts sixth lineman, I think that would be a good spot for him. So I think those three, you know, Ezra Cleveland, like you mentioned, Matthew Pert and Austin Jackson, there in that 34-44 range could definitely be options for the Colts.
Wide receiver now, Zach. Let's go into the 34-44 guys here. I'm going to specifically talk about big body guys, because that's especially what this Colts offense is missing. And with Phillip Rivers, he always had success with that. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a guy who makes sense. Michael Pittman Jr., Chase Claypool. Anyone else of those big bodies makes sense to you in that round two range?
Yeah, you know, Denzel Mims happens to be there, because, you know, I think the thing with Mims, his tape was very inconsistent, despite him having this outstanding offseason where he killed the Senior Bowl and killed the Combine. He did have some inconsistent tape, and so you could really see a guy like that fall to maybe 34. So Mims would be another interesting guy. You know, of the guys that you mentioned, I really do like Michael Pittman, probably the most of those guys. I think Michael Pittman, you know, for a guy his size, moves very well, and he finds ways to get open, which is really a unique trait for a guy his size. So I really do like him there. But, you know, there are a couple of guys that, you know, maybe not my favorites, like Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, T. Higgins, I think, could be an option. So there are a lot of big body guys. I do think, though, the best way to attack this, if you really want to build that receiver depth in this class, is you want to get more of a difference maker at 34-44. You know, a guy who falls out of the first, like Jalen Reagor or Brandon Ayuk or Denzel Mims, those are the guys you want to target that early. And those big body guys, there's so many of them late in this draft, from from Anthony Gandy-Golden to Isaiah Hodgkins. There's a lot of those big guys kind of later in the draft. So I think if you really want to get that big body guy, maybe later on in the draft would be smart. And early on, you know, you want to attack it with those difference makers, those speed guys, then you can just add more dynamic flow to your offense with a guy like Rager, Ayuk, or Mims.
Let's rank those three guys real quick for those that are wondering, fans out there. How would you rank Rager, Mims, and Ayuk right now at this moment, Zach?
Personally, for me, I still would have Rager over Mims, even though I know a lot of people disagree with that right now after their combines. But I'd go Rager, Mims, and then Ayuk. But all three of them, I think, really what Ballard likes in receivers, and I think all three of them really fit the Colts offense really well. So any of those three would be a really good fit for the Colts.
And then also, we're looking at maybe guys in that 34-44 range at wide receiver. What's the possibility thing of going tight end and on round two? Maybe that's more of a round three option, you think?
Yeah, you know, I think the overall tight end group this year, unless you're kind of putting Chase Claypool at a tight end, which I know some NFL evaluators are because he is at like 240 pounds, even though he ran the 4.3 combine. You know, they definitely could go tight end, but I just don't think it's that good a tight end class to really take one that high. You know, outside of, again, like I said, Claypool being considered a tight end, are you going to take a guy like Trautman, who's kind of a, you know, really small tool guy, kind of an average athlete, or Bryson Hopkins, who had some pretty good film, but he's more of a one-dimensional tight end. He's not a dynamic athlete. I just don't think there's really any tight ends in this class that really warrant going that high. So I think it's more of a third or fourth round, you know, need that they will address.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Maybe guys like Thaddeus Moss, Alberto. I'm not going to even pronounce his last name because it's so difficult. I think it's Okwebenom or something like that. I think those two guys make a lot of sense in the fourth round there. I could slip there for the Colts. But how would you rank right now, Zach, what would you address right now with the Colts' needs? You just cut Pierre Desir, of course. You don't know what's going to happen at quarterback. But say that trades aren't involved here. What would you rank the tiers right now, possibilities for the Colts at 34?
Yeah, so I think 34, considering kind of how Ballard is philosophy-wise, even though I think, you know, quarterback is obviously neat. I don't know how good the quarterback is going to be at 34, you know, whoever's there, or kind of how Ballard really has his board set when it comes to that position. But personally for me, looking at the positions that the Colts need and looking at how the board might be at 34, I think wide receiver and cornerback are going to be towards the top there. I just think that the value is going to be really good at that spot for corners or receivers, and I think they can get a really good one. And I think in that next tier, you want to look at, like, tackles, maybe a quarterback that falls, or maybe there's just a guy that you really like that you could take kind of at that 34 with quarterback. And then maybe even a defensive end. You know, there might be a good defensive end that slips that far to 34. So, yeah, maybe defensive end. You know, they still need that guy that's going to replace Jabal Sheard on the other side unless they really like Al-Qaeda Muhammad to finally start out there. But, yeah, they could still use the guy on that side as well. So there are definitely a lot of options, but I think I would go wide receiver and cornerback at the top, offensive tackle, quarterback, and defensive end there in the middle.
Yeah, I think that play makes a lot of sense for this team. And when you look at a possibility for the Colts, how would you grade out like a Denzel Mims, a Matthew Parrott, and then you go Michael Ojemudia for your two-round mock, so to say, for your first three picks? I think those make a lot of sense. You're checking off a lot of Senior Bowl boxes there with the Ballards, Ballard-type guys, high-character guys, too, and their positions of need. What do you think of a haul like that for the Colts, if that's possible?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I mean, because with that, you know, you would get a guy like Mims who can immediately step in, be your wide receiver, too, outside of, you know, Hilton, and you can have Hilton and Campbell on the field and have, you know, three guys that run 4.3 and you have really different abilities in all three of them. I think that would be a really good pairing, having all those guys. And then a guy with like Matthew Peart would be just excellent at 44 because, like I said, you know, he has that potential to be a franchise left tackle. But, you know, you kind of need that guy you can fill in and be that Joe Haig role, that sixth offensive lineman in those heavy sets. And with Pert's, you know, strength and ability and his, you know, ability to be like a road grader in the running game, I just think he'd be a great fit there. And then, you know, Michael Ojemudia, I mean, that's just a guy that I love. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times. I did a film session with him for Cover One. And, yeah, just a really, really smart guy, really good athlete, reads things really well, talks really high about film and such, and really comes from a great program there. I think, you know, one thing that he really reiterated to me when we were talking was, you know, his best football is ahead of him. He left a couple plays out there in college that he really thinks he can make here in the next level. So yeah, he thinks this ball in, and I completely agree. So yeah, getting him in round three would just be a home run as well. So yeah, that three round or that two round lock there with the first three picks would be a really good haul for the Colts.
Yeah, I think that's definitely on the table for this team when you look at the possibilities, because I think that would be definitely a great mock draft for this team. And you have to look at those character traits definitely for a guy like Chris Bauer, and that's some Colts fans should definitely watch out for as we get closer to April's draft. But before I let you go, Zach, I have to let you know about this. William Hill Sportsbook, the first sportsbook out there with over-unders this year for the Colts and other NFL teams. 8.5. I know we still haven't had a draft yet. There's going to be a lot that happens between now and then. But do you feel like 8.5 is a little too low for this Colts team?
No, I think that's about even. You know, obviously they made a couple moves by getting Rivers and Buckner in. And there's so many things that could really happen throughout the year. But, you know, they were a 7-win team last year. And that was with a couple things going their way. A couple things also going against them. But, you know, they were a 7-win team last year. They haven't made too many, like, different – they haven't really improved a lot of their weaknesses in terms of wide receiver or corner yet. So those are still kind of to be seen. But I think 8.5 is pretty fair. You know, I would probably put this team right now at, like, a 8-11 win team, maybe 8-10 win team. So I wouldn't get too upset about an 8.5 projection. You know, if it was, like, 5 games or 6 games, then I'd probably get upset. But I think 8 is – you know, it's a little bit on the low side, but I think it's pretty fair.
You guys can follow Zach on Twitter at Zach Hicks too. Zach, appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.